a poem that many of you have probably heard has goes like this: how many ways do I love you? Let me count the ways. And of course, I guess you go on and tell somebody the many ways that you love them. It's hard to define the word love. Some people say of young people, oh, they are just having an experience of puppy love. It's not the real thing, and it'll soon come to pass, like with a puppy, a new shoe will be found to play with, or a new bug will be found to chase, or a new box will be found to chew on. They haven't fallen in love. It's just a case of puppy love, and the young people get upset because they say, no, this is the real thing. Well, what is the real thing? How can you be sure that your love for another person is genuine? How can you know it's the real thing? What is a very simple test to determine whether or not you really do have love? Some say love is a feeling. Others say, no, love is an activity or an action. It's something you do. Sometimes a person will say, I love watermelon, don't you? And we're not always sure how to answer such questions, because there's a fine line, I guess, between not loving something and loving something. You may buy watermelon. You may eat watermelon. You may enjoy watermelon. But then do you love watermelon? And there's a difficulty in answering that question. At what point do I pass from liking something to loving it? When I served a church in Diboll, we used to go into Lufkin, which was the only large city nearby at a shop. And I recall that no matter when you went by there, no matter what day of the week it would be, there was a certain place in Lufkin, the public square. There were lots of tables underneath trees and benches, shade. And you'd always find some men sitting out there, I guess they were retired, playing dominoes. I guess it would be the same men day after day. I never took time to check on that. But as I would pass by, I would make the comment to my wife, they must really love to play dominoes. Have you ever had your parent tell you as you grew up, every time I turn around, statement, every time I turn around, you're on the phone. Every time I turn around, you're eating candy. What's your problem? And you could say, well, I just love the dog on the phone, or I just love to eat candy. In my life, it was ice cream. I had a love affair with ice cream. Many a day when I was a child, I'd walk 2 miles to get ice cream. They had an ice cream store, and I'd go there and I'd get me what I call a triple dipper. 3 big old dips of ice cream in a cone. And on my way back home, walking, I'd have me a malted milk. In the winter, I'd go out and buy ice cream and sit in front of the stove and eat that ice cream. I mean, I loved ice cream. People told me I loved ice cream. I was convinced, and I still am convinced, that I love ice cream. But strangely enough, the proof that I love ice cream is not that I eat so much of it. Now, let me clarify that. Some of you may know me. I used to eat a lot of it, and I had a heart attack, and they said, you can't have any more fat. So that eliminated ice cream for me. I still would love to eat ice cream, but now there is a barrier that says, no, you ought to love your life, and love your health, and love your heart, and love your arteries more than you do ice cream. So out of fear, I have restricted myself off that one thing that I love. But if I go back and just say, when I did eat so much ice cream, the proof that I loved it was not that I ate so much of it. Which brings us to a very important principle about love that I think most people have overlooked. And it's a principle that you can test. Any degree or depth of love a person might claim to have. And this principle is clearly stated by Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. Solomon says, he that loves silver, not preaching on money now, he that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver. That's a strange statement. The person who has silver won't be satisfied with the silver that he has. That doesn't make any sense. But you see, I wasn't satisfied with the ice cream I had. Let me paraphrase this principle for you. He who loves money will never be able to get enough money. For you see, his love will drive him to want more and more and more. And the more he gets, the more his love will want to give. How do I know I love something? Here it is. Here's the principle. I can never get enough of it. I want to repeat that to you. The test of love is, can you say, I can never get enough of it? I will continually come back for more and more and more. In other words, love for something produces an obsession for more of it. And no matter how much you get, it's never enough, and you still have a craving for more. Now, let's illustrate this as we look at God's love. All right? The love of God. Psalms 87, verse 2. The Lord loves. Now, notice. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Now, Zion was the hill on which Jerusalem was built, all right, the holy city. But it wasn't the city God loved so much that was located on that hill, but as it was something in that city. In Isaiah 8:18, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, who dwells in Mount Zion. So now we've gone from Mount Zion to Jerusalem to the dwelling place in Jerusalem of God. And we still yet have not really found the thing God loves. Now, he's in a dwelling place. Well, what did he love? Psalms 99:9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship him on his holy hill. That is, in the temple. The temple was built in Jerusalem, and the temple was the place that God loved to dwell in. But what was it God loved about the temple? It was where the people came to worship him. So if you finally bring it all down, the thing that God says he loves is worship. How do I know God loves worship? He never gets enough of it to be 100% satisfied. God never says, that's enough, and I don't need any more, I've got enough. God never gets enough of worship. And that's a true statement from this day throughout all of eternity. Isaiah was informed of this information. Chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six angels, and each of the angels cried one to another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, the angels were God's first creation, according to Scripture. How long they existed before man and the earth were created, we are not told. But once the earth was created, how long have the angels already been standing around this throne of God in heaven singing, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The earth is full of his glory. I mean, when Isaiah happened to get a view into heaven, it was still going on. I believe today if you and I could get a view into heaven, you'd still see this going on. And we know from Scripture the earth is 6,000 years old. And you may have had millions of years prior to man and the earth in which the angels sang this. I mean, you say, well, looks to me like God would finally get tired of hearing that. No. You see, love can never be satisfied because it can never get enough. God loves to be praised. God loves to be worshipped. And He can never, never, never get enough. You see, you can't tire then, get tired of anything you love. Because if you can't get enough of it, you'll never get tired of it. And the more you get, the more you want. It just whets your appetite. Now, let me ask you this. Do you love the church? Oh, yeah, I love the church. Well, did you go Sunday morning? No. You going this morning? No. You going tonight? No. Don't tell me you love the church. You've already got your fill of it. You already had enough of it. You don't want any more. That's no love. There's no love there. All right? Do you love the Bible? Sure, I love the Bible. Do you? You love the Word of God? Oh, yeah. Do you? How often you read it? Oh, maybe once a week. Hey, you know, I eat ice cream every day. I eat ice cream every hour if I could. I mean, I never got enough of it. But most Christians, they have enough of the Bible. They have enough of the Word of God. They may not even know where the book of Matthew is, but they've had enough of the Word of God. They have enough of preaching. If it's 15 minutes long, that's enough. Brethren, where is the love for the Word? Love simply means I can't get enough to satisfy me. How about prayer? So I love to have fellowship with God. Do you? Do we? You know? 5 minutes in prayer, boy, that's enough of that. I've had enough of that. Preacher prays just a little bit too long in church. Man, it's getting tiresome. I mean, I've done lost my attention. I'm tired of this. How about righteous living? Do you have a love for the law of God, like David said, is sweeter to him than the honey from the honeycomb? David said, I have a love for the law, and seemingly he could never get enough knowledge, and he kept asking God, tell me more about how to keep your law. That's one of the ways, folks, you can test the level of your love for spiritual things. What is it that you cannot get enough of that's spiritual? Can you name one thing that you can't get enough of the spiritual? I think that's what Jesus was warning the Ephesian church in the book of Revelation when he says you've left your first love. They had already gotten enough of spiritual things. I won't say they were fed up, but they were no longer hungry. Now, God loved Zion, for that's where God was worshipped, and that's where God was praised. And today, I think the number one thing that we ought to do in worship is praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, doesn't God ever get tired? No. No. You know, do you love money? No, I don't love money. Well, if you see you never get tired of it, then you love it. Do you love dominoes? Would you rather play dominoes than eat and sleep? If you do, then you love dominoes. That's why I know I loved ice cream, because I never got enough of it. I never got tired of it. I mean, I would eat it when my mouth was frozen. I couldn't even taste what I was eating. I just keep right on eating it. Some time ago, I was in the car. I turned on the radio and just dialed through different stations trying to find something to listen to. And just happened to run across this song. Too much is not enough of your love. Now, right there is the principle, though it was captured by the world and placed in a song written by somebody for the world. They capture the truth about love. Too much is not enough of your love. The other day I was listening to watching a Christian program on TV. And a young man came on there and sang a song that as he began to sing, and I listened to the words, I was taken back. He gave a tremendous message, and he had a tremendous thought in it. The song began by speaking about all the wonders that God had made. Things that we take vacations for to go and see. Things that inspire the artist to paint pictures like animals and birds and waterfalls and forests and flowers and so forth. But the song goes on and says that these things do not really impress God. As he looks at them, as much as another round or another serving or another helping of praise from the lips of his people. And the chorus was, if a simple song can please a mighty God, then I will sing my song to him. If a simple song can please a mighty God, then I must simply praise him. And that song, again, you see, captures this great principle about love. God never gets tired of praise. A little simple praise song is of greater desire more by him than all the created beauties and wonders of this world. Now, here's a test that you and I can apply to someone we say we love. The sooner you tire of something, that is, get tired of it, lose interest in it, then the less possibility there is of you loving it. If you tire of sin real fast, and you should, then there's no danger of you loving it. If you get tired of the world real quick, then there's no danger of you loving the world. We sing the song, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But the proof is, how quick are we satisfied with Jesus? Do I ever get enough of him and his likeness? How soon have I had enough of his name? How soon have I had enough of his worship? How soon have I had enough of his commandments? You see, that's the question, Christian, we've got to ask. How soon am I wanting to turn Jesus off out of my mind? It's not a good testimony when we can't sit through a church service 20 minutes when we get down and talking about Jesus or about spiritual things. The Lord loves to be praised. But do I love to praise him? Well, you see, to answer that question, simply ask the question, how many times a day do I catch myself praising the Lord? You say, well, I never do. Okay, then you don't love to praise the Lord. It's just that simple, you see. Do I love church worship? All right? If you don't go at all, or if you seldom ever go, then you sure don't have the principle of love. You can't get enough of it because you'd be there every time the door was open. Now, I don't find many people that involved and that in love with the church. And maybe that's over-involvement in the church. But it's not with the Lord. You see, that which is truly love can never adequately satisfy you. Not completely. But instead, you will have to come back for more. And more, and more. I guess the best parallel I know of is eating. Eating. People love to eat, and that's why we have three meals a day and snacks in between, and sometimes a late snack at night before we go to bed. Even to the danger of our health, we love food. How do I know? Because you never get enough of it. One of the problems that many people have is they're overweight. What's the problem? They never can get enough to satisfy them, and they eat more than their body actually needs, and that produces weight, which they don't need. But they say, I just have this tremendous hunger. Right. It's love. You can never get enough food. And that's why we keep eating when our body does not need it for energy or for strength or for vitamins, but we just keep on eating because we love food. Now, heaven is for those people who have what? A love for God and a love for godly things. It's a place for those who want to forever and ever be in a situation where they can never get enough of praise opportunities for God. Never get enough of God's nearness and God's likeness and God's blessing and God's presence. Never get enough of it. And that's the point that I think the Holy Spirit is trying to bring us to as Christians today. He that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver. And that's true. You would think if you had the money, you'd be satisfied. But you won't be, not
if you love it. Not if you love it.
A man who loves his wife will not be satisfied with one anniversary. He wants a second, and a third, and a fourth, and a 30th, and a 40th, and a 50th. He can never get enough of his time spent with his wife or with her husband. Now, that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way God intended it. And that's the true meaning of love. How things would change if we truly love people on this principle, especially love the Lord. And we ought to pray, God, give unto me that kind of appetite. I don't know where I got that appetite for ice cream. Everybody doesn't have that. Some people don't even like ice cream. Where did I get that from? And so we ought to pray, God, give me that appetite where I can never get enough of worship, never get enough of praise, never get enough of walking with you, never get enough of your will and your presence and your commandments and your work. May I never get enough where I totally have a love for you and a love for your things. Think about it. How much do you love God, the Word, and spiritual things this morning? You answer me. I have to answer God, and you answer God to this question.